So this, I guess, will validate men for years to come, and perhaps years past. Our brothers in the past year who complained of man flu and being scoffed at and laughed at. But a new report within the last little while here suggests that man flu is a thing. So what is it, and does this matter now that we've classified it at all?
Okay, so let's get one thing clear. This report is not any new research. It's a review of current literature, and it's also in the famously cheeky Christmas edition of the British Medical Journal. So actually, some people are a little bit annoyed that this article is sort of like taking a tongue-in-cheek approach to things. But anyway, man flu, what is it? So man flu is this idea that somehow men are treated worse by flu than women are, proportionally speaking, that is. So if a guy gets flu, he's laid up in bed, whereas a woman gets flu, she's able to carry on, it doesn't impact her. That's what it's about. Is that really true or not? Well, the arguments that are being put forward are based upon research on mice and how different sects of mice respond differently in terms of their response to viruses. And there is a little bit of evidence, not a lot of evidence, that for certain viruses, male mice don't respond as well and are more laid down. But how about for humans? And in this particular case, there isn't very much research on humans, and the article does point this out. So going to the medical literature and looking at studies of, say, flu in the general population, are men more likely to wind up in hospital with the flu? Actually, yes, they are. But there could be other factors behind that. It could simply be that guys don't look after themselves as well. So when they do get flu, they're generally hit by it. Men are also known to be bigger smokers around the world in general. So in general, there's kind of a little bit of evidence that men have less of an immune response to viruses, and so they're laid down more by them. And it might be down to men not having as much estrogen as women, the female hormone estrogen. But at the end of the day, this is a tongue-in-cheek article, and don't all get too wound up about this and thinking that it's true. It might be, but more research is definitely needed, which is one of the main conclusions of the article.
All right, excellent. And for the next one here, a little bit of an abstract concept here, but still interesting nonetheless. The idea of a theory of everything and how that would impact science. So I'll leave it to you to sort of explain this then. What is the concept behind a theory of everything? And if you could have one, what would that mean?
Okay, so a theory of everything is a really interesting name to give to the theory that describes what we call the unification of all of the physical forces in the universe. And this is something that Einstein was really interested in for the later years of his life. Now, you may have heard of something called string theory, and string theory is actually a candidate for the theory of everything. But the really important thing about this is we cannot combine the theory of gravity with all of the other forces of nature. And until we can do that, we can't actually create a theory of everything. But if we had it, it would be really awesome because we would be able to explain the beginnings of the universe with it. In terms of using it to explain absolutely everything, like how does your kettle boil something, or how do you explain how a galaxy works or something like that, the theory of everything is not going to help for that, right? It's not going to explain all of those things. It's a theory very much of what happens when there's huge amounts of energy in the universe, and so it's the theory of the very beginning of the universe to a large extent as well. But it would be incredibly important to have. It would be incredibly important to theoretical physics. It is considered to be really one of the greatest intellectual problems in physics that's out there right now. But having it isn't going to revolutionize everything. It's not going to give us solutions for everything, because even if we could write down the equations of like millions and millions and billions, enormous numbers of atoms working together and subatomic particles that are described by this, we still wouldn't be able to solve those equations anyway. So it's just going to be really great to have if you work in what we call high energy physics.